If you got your Bibles, open up to 2 Kings. This morning we're going to have a time of communion, and we're going to look at half a story in the life of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, which is where we got up to. And it's going to be very very simple message this morning. Hopefully very simple. It's the main theme is actually the fifth fruit of the Spirit, which you'll instantly all know because you've all memorized the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness. Well done. Well done. Yeah, the main thing that's going to come out is kindness. So I'll just pray, and then we'll just have a look at 2 Kings 4. Father, I just thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you that that we can set aside this period to look at your word again. Lord, help us to just to be encouraged and to be challenged again with your word. Because, Father, it's you that has written the Bible. It's you that is speaking to us. And, yeah, Lord, may we hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, like I said, it's basically only half a story. We'll finish the rest of it off next time. But we're starting in verse 8, because that's where we got up to last time. And it says, "Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem," or something similar to that, "where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food." Obviously it was nice. Had to be persuaded the first time, but having tasted of her cooking, every time he was back for more. And it says that she said to her husband, "Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please, let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. And it shall be, when he comes to us, that he can turn in there." So in this chapter, we're introduced to this woman. She's not named, but she's got some attributes, some parts of her character that are highly to be desired. And it says in verse 8 that she was a prominent woman. I think another Bible says that she was a notable woman. She stood out. There was something different about this lady. If you think about the sorts of people that are prominent in our society, what would come to mind? Yep, Ellen Clark, our great leader. Who else is prominent? Celebrities, yep. Yep, sports people, the All Blacks, film stars. Yeah. Basically, most of the people that are prominent in our society, the Bible would and God would put kind of no weight or emphasis upon. He's not really into being coordinated or, you know, or whether you're coordinated or not coordinated, whether you're rich or poor, whether you can act really well. These things don't even interest him. But when he talks about someone that's being prominent, like this lady was, it is things that he is interested in. And like I said before, the main thing that came out to me when I read this passage, first of all, was kindness. Was kindness. Here was this lady, and she saw that Elisha was a man of God, and she wanted to do something for him straight away. There's a man by the name of Abraham Heschel. He's the late great Abraham Heschel. He died in 1972. He was a theologian, and I've never heard of him either. But he just said this. He said, "When I was young, I admired clever people, as young people probably do. He said, "Now that I'm old, I admire kind people." Pretty simple quote. But if you think about it, and I was asking Mum, and I was thinking about it for myself, I was thinking, who is it, especially Christian-wise, that I look up to? Who is it that I admire, and what is it about their character that stands out? And I asked Mum, who do you think is kind? I could ask that to yourself. Do you think that you are kind? Can you think, thankfully this is a rhetorical question, but can you think of some time recently where you've done something kind for someone that was a little bit out of the blue, a little bit out of the ordinary? Because when I was thinking about people that I admire and what it is, one of the things, obviously, you know, you'd really admire a true love for God, but one of the things that really stood out was that person's really kind. It's a kind person. And it was something that really stood out to me. I've got a girl at my work, I shouldn't call her a girl, she's a woman, but she's not a Christian, but she's just really kind, and she just does little things, and you just think, man. And she hasn't had an easy life or anything, but she's got that kindness, and yeah, and it's something you don't kind of forget. It's one of the reasons why these things stand out is because in 2 Timothy 3, it gives a list of characteristics of what people in the last days are going to be like, and it talks about how, you know, mark this, terrible times will come in the last days. And it gives this list of characteristics, and one of the things it says about people is it says they'll be unloving. I think another Bible says that they're without natural affection, meaning they don't really care about other people. They'll be very self-centered, self-focused, and they won't have love for other people. They won't have a natural affection for someone else. So let's just have a quick look at this lady's motivation. In verse 9, she said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, passing by us continually. Please let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And it shall be, when he comes to us, that he can turn in there." You know, this lady wasn't doing something because she wanted to get something back. This lady was simply doing it because she recognized that Elisha was from God. He was in the family of faith. And so she wanted to bless him. You know, and Israel, God was forever trying to remind Israel just to think of others. And like I said at the start, I'm hoping that this is a pretty simple kind of message. It's meant to be. But God was always trying to remind Israel to look out for those that are in need. I'll give you one example of that. It's in Micah chapter 6. I'll give you a race. I'm there. Probably because I had it marked. Micah chapter 6. If you find Daniel or Joel or Amos, go forward. If you're in the New Testament, then there's little hope. Israel was always kind of puzzling, who is this God? Who is this God that we serve? What does he require of me? What do I have to do to please him? And in Micah chapter 6, verse 6, it's God Israel speaking. It says, "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" So they just really didn't know, how do I come before God? What does he require of me? You know, do I have to sacrifice thousands of animals or maybe even my own son to come to God? In verse 8, it's got the reply, and it says, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." So he's saying, Israel, it's not rocket science. You know, you don't have to complicate things. I just want you to just be just with one another, just to treat others fairly, to think about other people, just to love kindness, and just to walk humbly before me, just to think of others. Now, there are some people, but they're probably rare, but there's some people that actually do this just kind of on their own natures. You might know Sharman, who was got saved in this. She's a friend of the family. She got saved in this church last summer. And by nature, she's just a really kind person. Like, I visited her when I went over to Europe, and I went to Amstelveen, which is in the Netherlands, where she lives. And she's the kind of person where if she goes for a walk downtown, she'll have to take a bag full of coins with her, because if she sees anyone that's in need, she's got to give them money. And there's some people that are just kind of like that. There's others of us that need reminding. And when I was over there, I was trying to find a church that she could go to, and we went to this church, and the pastor was talking about kindness. Well, part of his message was to do with kindness anyway. And at the end of it, she said to me, "I don't quite understand why you kind of need to be reminded to be kind." Because for her, it's just not her problem. You know, and I had to say to her, "Well, unfortunately, we're not all like you, no." I said, "You know, kindness is definitely not your problem. You're fantastically kind. But a lot of us, we think far too much only of ourselves, you know. And by nature, we're self-conscious and self-serving. And we need to be reminded to think of others." We'll look at one other quote in the New Testament. It's just the book of Titus. And it just stood out to me one time. I was reading through Titus one time, and there was one thing that just it kept being repeated all the way through the book. And in my Bible, at least, it's the word good deed or good deeds. You know, Titus was probably the second to last book that Paul wrote. He'd just been released from prison, they reckon, in Rome. He wrote to Titus, and then he was imprisoned again. But he was continually reminding Titus about the need, in his language, of good deeds. If you have a look in chapter 1, in verse 16, he's talking about people, and it says, "They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed." So he's saying, okay, there's some people that they've got all the talk, but they're not actually, their deeds are denying God. They don't actually have any good deeds. And in verse 7, starting verse 6, it says, "Likewise urge the young men," this is of chapter 2, verse 6, "Likewise urge the young men to be sensible. In all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine dignified." And if you jump down to verse 14, it talks about the Lord, and it says, "Who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." So he just keeps repeating this thing. And it was one of the last letters that he wrote. That Christians shouldn't just be Christians in their talk or in their speech. If you have a look in chapter 3, verse 1, he's talking about what to remind Christians. It says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good deed. In verse 8 of that same chapter, it says, "This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men." It's just over and over. It was just especially one time, probably because God was maybe speaking to me about it. But when I read through it, it was just what stood out so much. And finally, just in verse 14, even as he gets near to the end of the letter, it says, "Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful." So he talks about those that are worthless of any good deed, because they talk but they don't actually act. And he says to be an example of good deeds, to be zealous for good deeds, to be ready for good deeds, and to engage in good deeds. Now, it's not that you have to leave here and suddenly think, right, what shall I do? Shall I go build an extension onto my house? Just in case someone's going to come by and ask for a night's sleep and a meal. But it is just a reminder, just to be, Lord, is there anyone? Is there anyone that needs encouragement? Is there anyone that I can help in some way? It's just a reminder to be thoughtful, and to be thinking of others. Let's just have a quick look back in 2 Kings. So this lady's husband's built an extension onto their house. It's pretty radical. In verse 11 it says, "One day he came," and that's talking about Elisha, "and he turned in the upper chamber and he rested. And then he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call the Shunammite.' And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, 'Say now to her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army?' And she answered, 'I live among my own people.'" So here's Elisha, and he's lying, and he's all comfy, and he's warm. And he's just thinking, man, this place is fantastic. You know, this bed's nice, the meals are good. This lady has just been so kind to me. You know, what can I do for her? What can I do for her? And it's well been said that that kindness is the hardest thing to give away, because it always gets returned. And here was Elisha, and he had experienced this kindness, but his first thought was, how can I return it? What can I do for her? There must be something I can do for her. Now, he says, "Can I speak to the king on your behalf, or the captain of the army?" And she says that I live among my own people, meaning that she's quite content. She wasn't, you know, being kind so that she could get something back. Yeah, she was just being kind because he was part of the household of God. I was listening to a tape the other day by a man called Peter Reed. He came and spoke in Capenray Bible College. And actually, when I say it was the other day, it was probably a couple of months ago. And my motives for listening to this tape were not exactly godly. When I got back from Europe, I was not all that well, and I just wasn't sleeping. And when it came to sleep, I was just wide awake. And so I was taking advice from quite a few people, a few old wives' tales as to what to do to get to sleep. And finally, Sheila gave me some very sound advice. She said, "Well, just put on one of Fraser's sermons, and yeah, you'll be off as quick as straight away." We don't allow Fraser sermons in the house, so I didn't have one of those. But I did have this tape of this guy, Peter Reed, who spoke in Cape and Ray. And, drat it all. It was interesting. It kind of did the opposite of what I was hoping at the time, because it was kind of like the middle of the night when I was listening to it, hoping that it was going to put me into a deep sleep. But he was just talking about, he was just saying two things. He said that there's two things, in his opinion, that the church and Christians as a whole need to rediscover. And he was just saying that, one, we need to rediscover what it means that Christ lives in us, that the Lord's given his life to us. He said Christians need to rediscover that they're not just living this life by themselves. But he said the second thing is we need to rediscover, he said, Christians need to rediscover each other in the church. Because he said, because far too often we're just so isolated from one another. And people come to church and they might be in need of help, but they can go again and maybe not even be ministered to or whatever. And that really stood out to me. He was basically just saying, you know, we need to know who the Lord is in our lives, but we also need just to be kind. We need to be thoughtful. We need to think of each other. And that's obviously what this woman did for Elisha, and that's what Elisha did back for this woman. And it's not necessarily, like I said, it's not necessarily a huge thing. It's not necessarily building an extension onto your house, which was the example in this little passage. We'll just have a quick look at Matthew chapter 10. We'll just see what Jesus said. Matthew 10, starting in verse 40. Jesus said, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." So you're saying it's not necessarily the huge things. Not necessarily. Now, even a cup of water, because someone comes in the name of the Lord, or someone is a believer, shall not lose its reward. It may just be a word of encouragement. You know, Proverbs says that an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Could just be a simple word. Doesn't have to be something huge. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. We'll just quickly have a look at this, the last couple of verses back in 2 Kings, which fairly much just leads on to what I'll talk about next time. But in verse 14, and while it doesn't say it in the text, this is a little bit later. He's asked this lady if he can do anything for her, and she says, fairly much, "I'm okay. I'm content with my circumstance." And so in verse 14, and it's a little bit later, and he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And he's talking to his servant. And Gehazi answered, "Truly, she has no son, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." When he called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "At this season next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." In other words, okay, there's lots of things that you can kind of trick me about. There's lots of things that you can, you know, kind of have me on about, but not about a child. That's too close to my heart, you know. In Israel, it was a bit of a disgrace to not be able to bear children for women. And children were seen as a gift from the Lord. And so this lady, the one thing is that she had got old, her husband was old, and never had children. And so it was the one thing she was saying, no, don't lie to me on this one. It's too close to my heart. But in verse 17, it says, the woman conceived and bore a son at that season, the next year, as Elisha had said to her. And when the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon and then died. So a bit of a nasty twist in the story. And like I said, this morning's only half a story. It's kind of like an episode at the end of a series on TV, and you got to wait to find out what happens. You're not allowed to read on, obviously. But the other reason to be kind to people is because things like this happen. They happen even for godly people. They happen for kind people, for people that are walking close to the Lord. It doesn't stop hardship coming into people's lives. And we'll find out more about this lady's character the next time I speak, because she really was, like I say, she was quite a remarkable lady, prominent lady, a notable lady. She stood out, firstly in her kindness, but also, as we'll see next time, in her faith and her trust. But the main thing, just to sum it all up, is it's just the need to think about others. Just the need to ask the Lord, is there anyone that needs encouragement, needs, you know, that I can help in some way? Is there anyone I can be kind to? There was an old Quaker man, and I just read a quote by him. And apparently, what I read is that he would have been totally unknown to the world, apart from one thing that he said, which has lived on. And he just said, it says, these familiar lines have made him immortal and served as inspiration to many people. He just said, I shall pass through this world but once. Any good that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now and defer it not, for I shall not pass this way again. So he was basically saying this is his only life, this is his only chance to show kindness, so defer it not. We're going to have a time of communion, even though I haven't really been talking about the ultimate kindness, which is what Jesus Christ has done for us. But yeah, we'll have a time of communion, and maybe if we just break up into small groups. Sometimes it's going to be small anyway, isn't it? Because it's just the faithful few that worked out daylight saving. But and if there's any needs, then it'd be good just to pray for each other, and also just to thank the Lord for His ultimate kindness in saving us. Father, I just thank you for the example that you've given us of this lady. Lord, it is a reminder to us. Lord, it's so easy in our lives and in the day in which we live to get caught up with ourselves and to not think of others. And Father, I just pray for that fruit of the Spirit, Lord, that will be produced in us, that there will be kindness within us for other people. And Lord, that we will be willing to say to you, Lord, is there someone that that I can look out for, someone I can encourage, someone that I can help, Lord. Just give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who laid his life down for us. It was the ultimate act of kindness. And we're eternally grateful for you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.